Every time the video.
Good morning. Good morning. Welcome. Patty Sue is in the house. We're so happy. Y'all give her a hand. Yeah. And Brother Greg, would you come open us in a word of prayer?
You know, Patty Sue is special here and the ministry does. And one way to indicate this is that Oasis, only when you have special guests do they take the donuts out of the box and put it on a platter. On any other given Sunday, you just got to get it directly out of the box. But Patty Sue is in the house. So out breaks the platter. I knew something was happening. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this beautiful day of Sabbath, a day to cease the normal activities of life and to celebrate. Together with our family of faith and our families, to worship you, to be reminded of the glory of the resurrection and what it brings in our life as Christ followers. To have a part daily, both here and around the world, of making disciples and the good news. Thank you for Patty Sue, Casa de Fe, the Tias, all the workers, the administration, the children. Bless them and help us, Lord, be even a greater blessing to you as we seek to help the least of these, our brothers and sisters in Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Greg. Well, it is a joy to have Patty Sue with us here today in Brookhaven. We've been so looking forward to you coming, Patty Sue, because you're a very special person here at First Baptist. And we are so happy to be her home church. Patty Sue came to Brookhaven, we think, in 1997. May have been 98. We're not sure. We have to research that. She was at that time coming in to the end of her military duty, her service to her country. And she found herself living in Brookhaven. She moved to Brookhaven from Germany, is where she was before she came here. And she's originally from the state of Illinois. And here is this northerner finding herself planted in Brookhaven, Mississippi. Her assignment was actually, she was serving in Monticello, but she came and lived here with her teenage son in Brookhaven. She fell in love with missions while she was here at our church. And so after she retired, the adventure of her life really began. The Lord led her into full-time missions. That led her, first of all, to Quito. Quito is right on the equator, right? I couldn't think of the word. And that's what the word Quito means. It means middle. And then eventually she found herself in Shell, Ecuador, right on the edge of the beautiful rainforest there in Ecuador. It was all through the astonishing providence of God. She ended up doing something she never dreamed she would ever do. She founded Casa de Fe, which means House of Faith. It's a beautiful place. It's a place many of us love. How many of you have actually been there? Raise your hand high and let's see. Oh, good. How many of you are going for the first time this year? Go ahead, Babs, raise your hand. They desire at Casa de Fe to give the best life possible to children in terms of care, and in terms of education. Right now, presently, they have 58 children, 41 employees. 30% of the children are handicapped in some way. And she's coming this morning to give us an update on everything that's going on in at Casa de Fe. This is her 25th year on the mission field. Can you believe that, Patty Sue? Oh, what? Oh, 26, sorry. A lot has happened over the years. And I was thinking about this, Patty, so you really need to write a book You have so many God stories. Our lesson last week in Oasis, we're studying prayer, and part of our lesson was on journaling. Did you ever journal? A little? Well, see, we need to get your journals, because I know they're filled with all the stories of the beautiful people and children there in Ecuador and how God has used you. So this morning, we're just going to join in and we're going to marvel at what God has done through Patty Sue. I love the verse out of Psalm 126:3. It says this, and it's so appropriate for Patty Sue this morning. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad. And so the Lord has definitely done great things through you, Patty Sue. I also like Psalm 118:23. It says this, "This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes." It's a joy to be your home church. We love you so much, Patty Sue, and we're so thankful for the good work that God has done and accomplished through your life. You're just one girl, right? You're one woman who said yes to God. Yes, I'll go. Yes, I'll serve. Yes, Jesus, I will follow you. Let's pray before she comes and shares with us this morning. Lord, saying yes to you is the beginning of such an amazing adventure. And so this morning, would you just bless Patty Sue as she comes and shares with us. We ask you, Father, in Jesus' name, to prosper her, to give her favor. I pray, Lord, that somehow she'll feel our love this morning. We thank you for her life. We thank you for all the lives she's touched, all the lives that have been rescued and blessed through her and her ministry. I pray you'll bless her this morning while she's among us. Give her favor as she goes and spreads her news about the work at Casa de Fe. Raise up a mighty support for this ministry and meet their every need. We pray that you'll meet it super abundantly. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's make Patty Sue feel welcome.
Okay, I got a lot to live up to.
So, I'm really sorry, but y'all have to turn around and look at that screen up there.
We're having
technical difficulties, but it's okay. So, what's that? Just a sec. So, in February...
Is that word intact?
Yes.
Okay.
What?
You
really don't think they can hear me? Okay. So, in February... Wow. In February, a year ago February, we opened a home called the Forever Home, Hogar para Siempre. And it was for the special needs kids who'd grown up at Casa de Fe and could not be autonomous. They couldn't live on their own. So all the kids there are close to 18, some of them in their 20s. Tatiana and Cynthia just turned 20. Four, Carmen, I think, is 26. But that's kind of the age range of these kids. It's amazing. It's just crazy amazing. What it looks like. It looks like a home. It feels like a home. They have stuff on their shelves. In the home with all of the other kids. They really can't have stuff of their own because the other kids will get it. And there's little kids and there's big kids. Well, this home, this is a home. And I just want to show you this video real quick. It's really, really short. This is the Forever Home.
What happens to a child who is never adopted? This is not just a house. This is their Forever Home.
Here lie children with disabilities who were never adopted. Some of them waited for a family. Some of them were forgotten, so we became their family. Here they create, they learn, and they discover their talents. Here, they feel joy. They play. They explore. They are free. They are not alone anymore. Here they are safe. Here they are loved. We are not a shelter. We are not a temporary. We are family.
This is forever home. Not for a day, not for a year. Forever.
Every child deserves a place to belong. Every child deserves love. Thank you for being a part of their story.
What happens to a child who is never adopted? This is not just a house. This is there forever.
Okay. So, anyway, we opened that.
Today, 50 children live at Casa.
Whoa.
Each one arrived with a different story.
Okay. So, we opened that a year ago, February. Like I said, it's amazing to see that they're just flourishing. Because they live in a small group, you don't have to turn around yet. We're going to do it again. They live in a small group, and they have two caregivers. There's six of them, but they stay for 9 days at a time. It's a home, and you can feel it when you go in. So I think this church, a lot of people here will remember that the original idea at Casa Fe was to build houses, homes for the kids. Sorry. I wanted to have them in family units like that. And so when we saw that, it just like, we have to do this. We have to finish what we started. So you all are the first to hear about the new project. On the Casa Fe property, we have another probably football field size or more above where we've built so far. And we are going to build three more houses. They won't be as intricate as the Forever Home. The Forever Home has wide doors, has lifts. It's made for special needs. They're going to house at least 8 children each in each home. We're going to build them all at the exact same time, so that I'm not moving kids into a house and then the rest of them are going, well, what about me? We're going to build all of them. We're going to build all the foundations. We're going to build all of the walls, we're going to put the roofs on, all three of them, and then we're going to move at least 24 kids into those three homes. So, you guys are the first to see this. Can you start it at the beginning or not? Am I challenging you?
But all with the same love, care, and hope.
Born with one purpose, to be a refuge for children who have gone through difficult moments. Here they receive food, education, and care, but most important, something that changes the lives of children, feeling loved. We have learned something very important. It's not the same to eat in a large dining hall as it is to sit at a table where everyone knows each other like a family. It's not the same to live among many children as it is to grow up in a house where each child has their place. It's not the same to simply have caregivers as it is to have someone who cares for you like a mother. You know, from the beginning of Casa de Fe, we always wanted the kids to be in homes. And it kind of just got away from us.
We just had so many kids that had so many needs that we built the big house and filled it and really just never got back to the basics, back to what we really wanted to do, which was have the kids in homes. So once we built the home, Forever Home, it all just came back. It was like, wow, they're doing so great. They're living as a family. They're all thriving. And we just decided right there that we need to continue that, but for all the kids. So that's the project that we want to do now, is build a home so the kids can live in family units.
We are not just building buildings, we are building homes.
Today, 50 children live at Casa de Fe. Each one arrived with a different story, but all with the same need, love, care.
Okay, so now you can turn around. So that's the next project. Probably 3-4 years, depending on finances and everything. But it's a $250,000 project. So you'll see that coming, and you'll probably lay hands on it, do some work there. So anyway, as you can see, my life is a little crazy. We can't slow down. I mean, we've got so much to do here until God's ready for us. So, you know, we're all like seriously busy. Texting, getting messages, answering emails. Our brains are like on overload all the time. And it's not just here in the U.S. It's everywhere. And, you know, it causes us, I know, because I served in 3 combat zones. And so for a year at a time, sometimes more, I was in fight or flight. I mean, it was like I was always on. And you guys are the same way. And it's not good. It's not good for our bodies. It's not good for our brains. But God gave us a way to reset. And it's really crazy, and it's easy. So it's called awe. And you see it in kids all the time. Like, you see them, and they're like running across the field, and then they stop, you know, and it's like, it's a bug. But they're like, but look, it's this one has 4 wings, or, you know, it's crazy that kids can be in that state of awe, like, so much, and we can't, and we need to be. In Psalms 8, God said, "When I consider your heavens, the works of your fingers, the moon, the stars, which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them?" I think that's awe. I think that's God saying, look at what I'm doing. Stop for a second, and I'll make it longer. Awe is what we experience in seeing the mountains, looking at the ocean, seeing a sunset. Teresa, help me. Tell me something you saw lately that put you in awe. Renee? This is a Sunday school class. Sometimes it's a smell or a taste. It's crazy, right? But you can... T, tell me.
Darlene and I like to look at the moon.
And it's been really pretty lately, right? But it's like a time where God stops time, right? Like, you don't even realize how long you've been looking at the moon or at the blue sky. you know, or at your grandchildren, you know. But your heart rate slows. It's not that excitement, but your heart rate slows, it resets. It's good. It's really good. But some of the moments of awe that I've had didn't come from mountains or sunsets. They came from forgotten children. One of the most profound moments of awe that I had happened in an Ecuadorian hospital room. She never walked. She never talked. She never even fed herself. And I've talked about Dolly a lot over the years. I'm sorry. You've heard this. But when I walked into the hospital room for the last time with her, Latia said something to me that I'll never forget. She said, "Dolly's waiting for you." Wow. I went to her bedside and I held her hand and I stroked her face. I'm sure we sang "Jesus Loves Me" because that was our thing. I didn't want to say goodbye, but it was like I was in a bubble, like it wasn't going to end. And finally I said, "It's okay. It's okay, sweet girl. You don't have to fight anymore. You can go be with Jesus." And the heart monitor slowed and stopped. She was absent from the body, but present with the Lord. Over the past 26 years, I've discovered something really amazing. Most of my mentors have never said a word. Another child that really affected us was Natalie. Natalie taught us something about love. Natalie was very tiny, very sick, and she was 6 months old and weighed 12 pounds. She was at Casa de Fe for 5 days. 5 days. And God took her. And I got to tell you, I was kind of angry at God. I said, "Lord, why? Why would you even bring this child to us just to take away?" And straight to my heart, God said, "I didn't bring her to you to heal. I brought her to you to love." And that really changed something inside me. Sometimes we think success is fixing everything. But sometimes success is really just loving someone while they're there. We have a very special set of twins at Casa de Fe, Samir and Samira. They're 8 years old. Samir is an energetic, fearless little boy. He sees awe in everything. He's that kid that's just tearing across the field and just stops and says, "Look at this bug." Samira, his sister, was born with cerebral palsy. Her body's limited, but she sees amazing things in the world. Samira goes to a special needs school in Puyo, and Samira goes to school with the other kids in Shell. But whenever Samir sees Samira, he just like beelines for her. He gives her a hug, he sees how she's doing, he makes sure that she gets everything the other kids get. Did she get ice cream? Did she get pizza? He's like the little brother, like, but he's not. They're twins. And he just like takes off like an 8-year-old. Well, last December, Samir got sick. And I gotta tell you, we didn't think he was gonna live. His appendix burst, and it was over 24 hours before we knew. When he got to the hospital and they were gonna take him into surgery, he said something that I'll never forget. He didn't ask about surgery. He didn't ask about if he was going to be all right. He did say, am I going home tonight? And then when we said, no, you're not going home tonight, he said, but what about my sister? At that moment, his life was in danger, but he was thinking about Samira. After surgery, instead of improving, he got worse. And he was put on a ventilator. He was on a ventilator for 2 weeks. He was rushed to a children's hospital in Quito. I think probably because the hospital just didn't think he was going to live. Something amazing happened. People from all over the world started praying. And I know you guys were praying for him. Friends, churches, families, people who never even knew him were praying. And he began to get better. Little by little, he was in the hospital for almost 2 months. He missed Christmas with us. But he's home. He's home and he's gaining weight and he's playing and he's looking after his sister. But that moment before his surgery, like, I'll never forget, that little boy thought about his sister. He asked about his sister. Sometimes the clearest picture of Jesus' heart doesn't come from a sermon. It comes from the love of a child. When I went to Ecuador, I thought that I was going to serve. I thought I would help. I thought I might bring hope. I might bring light. But over the years, something unexpected happened. I began to realize that I wasn't bringing Jesus to these people. He was already there waiting for me. I met him in the laughter of children who had almost nothing. I met him in a hospital room where prayers were whispered over tears. I met him in the quiet strength of caregivers who loved day after day after day. And the one who helped me see him most clearly were the children. Whoever you did for one of these, the least of these you did for me. So after all these years, when someone asked me where I met Jesus, I tell them, I met him among the least of these. I met him in the wonder of a child. And I discovered that some of the greatest mentors in my life never said a word. They simply helped me see where Jesus was already waiting. Let's pray. Lord, open our eyes to see you in the people around us. Slow our hearts that we do not miss the moments of awe you placed in our lives. Help us to recognize your presence in the least and the forgotten and the overlooked. And teach us to love the way you love. Amen.
I'll never forget. I'm going to try to say something. I may not be able to. The first time I went to Casa de Fe. That was when, before, they were building the big house, and we were helping build it, but I remember after, you know, we were about to leave and go home, and so they were having their big debrief session, everybody share what it meant to you. And I just could not talk. I know y'all wanted me to say something, but I mean, you know, you can't talk and cry at the same time. It was such a moving experience to be there. You do meet Jesus there. It's just an amazing experience if you've never been. So does anyone want to share a brief testimony of going to Casa de Fe? You're sitting here, you've been, it impacted your life. Would anybody like to share before we close? Openings for the June trip. What are the dates?
June
27th, July 4th.
Call me.
Yes.
Gotta know soon.
Yes.
Really soon.
Yes. It would encourage Patty Sue to hear her share this morning. Anybody? Would you stand up and give a word of testimony? Good. Come on, T.
I knew somebody wanted to.
Good morning. I'm T. And some of y'all don't know me or whatever, but I've been going to Casa Fe a good many years, and it just brings to memory one time back when the old days when we had these, Casa de Fe was in a building downtown, a house, and had a little playground, probably about big as this little old place right here, open to the top and rain on it whenever it come rain. And but anyhow, we would come in and be coming there, the men would, and they knew me as Santiago down there, and I'd come to the gate, and little children, oh, Santiago, Santiago, it'd be the whole thing they do. Well, we'd open the gate and come in, and Joe Davis was with us back then. And whenever Joe Davis would come in, we would come there, and they'd grab a hold of it, and about four of them grabbed Joe Davis, which is about this tall and that big, and pulled him to the ground just because they wanted to love on him. And that was a very special moment for me. And I just love every moment that I've ever been down there and had the opportunity to be able to see these children. And I love toting Dolly around. I used to tote her around also, as many other children down there, and they've been a very special part of my heart.
Thank you, T. Still have time for one more. Anybody want to share? Anybody?
There's one little boy, Daniel. He's in the prayer time. And he was always right there wanting to help. And he couldn't do a lot. But I'll never forget, we were stacking stones. And it would just be just as easy for us to pick up the stone and put it on this bench. But he wanted us to.
And it's the oddest thing when T gets to Casa de Fe, suddenly he speaks Spanish. He thinks he can. Okay, well, Patty Sue, it's been a joy having you this morning. And let's close with a word of prayer this morning. Our Father, we're so grateful and so thankful for all you've done through Casa de Fe, through Patty Sue, through the beautiful T is there. All the provision you've made over the years, and oh, how it's enriched our lives here at First Baptist. I pray, Father, for the ones that are planning on going this summer, I pray for you to just carry them safely there, protect them, bless them, use them. I pray, Father, that they'll just be in awe and wonder at the beauty in the children, the beauty in Ecuador, the beauty of your work. Father, we just thank you for our church and for the opportunity just to have a part in missions. Thank you for bringing Patty Sue to our body. What a blessing. I just pray your blessing on her now. And thank you for this time together. We pray for our worship service that you will bless, that you will speak, that you will exhort us and encourage us and build us up that we might be servants for you. And we just pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Thank you, all of you extras, for coming. We love to have you.